Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Good. It's good,
good
to hear your voice. You're doing good?
I've been up and down.
I bet you have.
Yes.
You feel like saying anything about what's going on?
Yes, definitely. It would be great.
Good.
My wife had a baby boy last Tuesday morning, very early.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So that would mean both of you have one.
Both? Yes. And it was an incredible, transformative experience. Just incredible. It sort of started out one of those days that felt like the first thing went wrong, and then the second thing. And, I think, well, there's time. You know, it could correct. And then, the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
And it's all these, sort of unspoken expectations and assumptions about how my life is going to be.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And life is just pulling them away.
Yeah, because nothing that happened. It's like life didn't get the memo. Is that how we would talk about that?
Incredible. You know, the whole plan for natural childbirth and... life just had a different plan.
Yeah.
And, then we go to the painkiller, and then we go to the contractions augmented by the drugs, and, still nothing happening. And then the cesarean section, C-section to get the baby out. And, you'd hope at that point the baby is happy and healthy, and he's not. He's not happy. He's not healthy. He's got a lot of stuff in his lungs, and can't breathe. Can't get enough oxygen, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, and it's like an avalanche, isn't it?
It's like an avalanche.
Yeah, there's no time to kind of catch your breath and take a step back and get your bearings. It just starts rolling and keeps rolling.
It keeps
right along with it.
Keeps rolling and rolling, and without a spiritual practice, it would have been, I'm sure, a lot worse. In my experience of it.
Exactly.
The suffering would have been just over the top, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. The experience wouldn't have been any worse because that's what it is, and that's kind of it's not as bad as it could get, but it's right up there.
Yeah,
but your experience of that experience could have been truly hellish.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, and I noticed just talking about it now, I'm almost shaking. I am shaking.
Yeah,
and it was like after the baby came out, it was like walking into the set of ER, the emergency room show.
Uh huh.
This is not my life. It was so surreal to have, a dozen people working on this baby and pounding on him and hooking him up to this and poking him here and trying to get the IV line in and he wasn't responding. He wasn't coming around for the first couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And
even though they had him hooked up to oxygen and they're reading all of his vital signs and technically he's okay.
No, technically he was not okay.
Oh, wow.
He was heading downhill, and they had a series of procedures that they were going through. And, as they were sort of going through their bag of tricks, getting near the bottom of their bag of tricks, he started to turn around slowly.
Oh, my gosh.
But, one of the doctors was in my experience, just really wonderful. In that he was just there, and he was just telling me, tears are coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
He was just telling me how it was, and you know, I'd pull it together for a couple minutes, and then I'd be in tears again. And he didn't sugarcoat any of it. You know, he didn't say it's going to be fine.
Uh huh.
He said, you know, it looks. He's not coming around, and we have some more things that we're going to try. And his presence just over the past week just keeps coming back to me.
Mm.
You know, it was just so genuine and so authentic.
Right, and all that he was doing was really being there with you.
Yes.
Not playing a role, not thinking about what you needed to hear or how this is going to sound to you, or you're equal to your experience, and everybody else is too, and so here's where we are, and here's what we're looking at.
Yeah, yeah, just magic.
What a gift.
What a gift, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would fall apart every now and then, and invariably somebody would come over and check in with me, and even talking with him, that doctor, you know, I'd be in tears, and he, you know, he'd be right there and put his hand on my knee or something, and just right with me. And it's interesting too, because I remember you talking about these kind of experiences that people go through, and a couple things about it is that people go through it and survive it and like themselves better afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And the once conditioned mind gets a hold of that, it's never again. You know, never again. But for me, the transformative aspect of it is just magical.
Yes. And so what you're saying is whatever it takes to go beyond being stuck where you are, you're willing for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And when I looked to my body after that 24 hours or so, and all of the any emotion left had been expressed and expressed and expressed, and the body was so relaxed.
Mm.
It was like bliss.
Uh huh.
There was nothing. There was no tension left anywhere in the body that I could find.
Uh huh.
You know.
Yeah. And if you had tried to hide that stuff, that be the right person, show up in some artificial way for Claire or for the staff or whoever you might have been performing for, you would have probably been a complete, absolute, utter wreck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause we've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all done the alternative to really being present with ourselves and everybody else who's there in the circumstances. So, you know, we know what that feels like.
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, all of our conditioning is you can't fall apart. You can't express what's really going on with you. You've got to buck up. You've got to keep it together. You've got to be strong for Claire. You've got to present a good face to all of these strangers in this hospital setting. And instead, you were just how you were.
Yeah. I was just how I was. I was just crying and then not crying and then crying and then not crying. And
yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny, even just right now talking about it, sitting here, just my body's just twitching.
Yeah.
It's just shaking.
Yeah. And it's again, so counter to our conditioning. But to me, that's the position of strength.
Yes.
In the way that you're describing that doctor being.
Yeah.
To be authentic is the position of strength, not to put all of the energy that you would have available for the circumstances into trying to stuff your emotion.
Yes.
That is just so not helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now the little guy.
The little guy is much, much improved.
Good.
Much, much improved.
And they think he's got a...
I think he's going to do great.
A clear shot ahead of him.
Yeah. He's still in the hospital, and possibly in a couple days or a week, he'll be on his way home.
Good, good. His lungs are clearing out.
Lungs are, yeah, clearing out much better.
Good. And he wasn't a little chap to begin with. So
no, he was a big boy.
That has to be in his favor, huh?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is, yes.
9.5 pounds?
Yes. And it's interesting, too, sort of these days, you know, from a practice perspective, what conditioning is telling me now is why were you so upset?
Yeah, right.
Look, he's fine.
Yeah, don't you love that?
He's fine. Yeah. You were all, look at you, falling apart, crying in tears. Look, he's fine. He's out of intensive care. He's almost coming home.
Yeah, what a jerk you were.
Yeah, just you were so emotional.
Yeah.
And it's just the power of conditioning. You know, once the sort of riveting aspect of that experience sort of ended, you know, conditioning is just like water seeping back in, you know, from every channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, the response to it is, this was one of the most important things that has ever happened in my entire life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I was there as fully present as I could possibly be.
Yes.
End of conversation.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm glad this is being recorded so I can listen to it again in the archives.
In the middle of the night when you're in a weakened condition and it wants to get in there and start torturing you again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because can you imagine if, and I heard somebody say, we always must say this, God forbid it had gone a different way.
Yes.
And you had seemingly felt nothing.
Yes.
About it. Can you imagine what conditioning would have done to you then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would have been just unbearable.
Yeah. So to just let conditioning know, I was there. I know what happened. It was all just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on where we are now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, magical is the word that comes up. Mm-hmm. And the judgment from conditioning around using that term to describe the experience.
Yeah, because what we're conditioned to say is, it was awful.
It was horrible. Awful. My baby almost died, and it was awful.
Yeah, yeah. And you're using a word like magical?
Yes.
What? How out of touch are you? That's sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was.
And yeah.
And it was magical, and gratefully, with deep gratitude and appreciation, it ended well.
Yes.
It's gotten to this point, and we can say, right now, we have a happy ending.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And who knows what's going to happen in this guy's life? Anything can happen in his life, just like anything can happen in any of our lives.
Yes.
And right now, much to be grateful for.
Yes, yes, at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is big.
Life is big. And as I've heard you talk about also, you know, conditioning wants to take this experience and file it under weird or, you know, something that...
Awful things that have happened to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's wasn't my experience of it.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
For seeing all of life and the compassion that people showed to me and the baby and, you know, talk about illusion of control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It comes right down to it, and you're reduced to pacing up and down, wringing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody in that situation, I'm sure, very well aware of that. All of the things that that fabulous medical facility had going for it, and still no control.
Yes.
You know, everybody just doing the very best that they could do.
Yes.
And essentially praying.
Yes.
Just hoping that it goes the way we're hoping that it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last thing I want, or one of the last things I want to say is that the privilege you know, that I have this available to me.
Oh.
That, you know, on a moment's notice at 2 a.m., there are a dozen skilled, talented, compassionate people, you know, with all the resources they need to do their job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the one is magical and the other is miraculous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing that if we're not paying attention, we can take for granted.
Oh, yeah.
And yet we know that there are little baby boys and girls being born all over the world all the time who have things going on with them that if they had that kind of care, they would make it, and they don't.
Yes.
And they don't.
Yes.
Yeah, and all we can do is be, once again, just eternally grateful that that we have access to this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how is Mama?
Mama's much improved.
Good.
She's good.
Good.
You know, it's funny with the C-section. You know, they tell you that it's major abdominal surgery, and yet it seems that the procedure seems to happen so frequently and so often with people that you forget that it's major abdominal surgery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic.
It is, isn't it? It's like, I have this, and then just go on with my life.
Yes.
But it's not quite that easy.
Yeah. A little recovery period there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, bless your hearts, all of you.
And, thank you. Thank you.
We are all, I think I can speak for everybody listening in, really, really, really happy for all of you right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very, very grateful for this show and the practice and all of our listeners and support. It's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've managed to use up our first segment here.
Oh, bless your heart. We'll get a phone number pretty soon, and they'll get to call in, too.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Wherever you are, you deserve World Spa, a day spa for both men and women specializing in Western therapies with age-old Eastern techniques. All World Spa providers are professionally licensed specialists in their fields. We provide spa treatments for all schedules, from as little as 30 minutes to all-day programs. World Spa also has a spiritual library where you can relax and enjoy our collection of books, videos, and audio tapes. World Spa is open 7 days a week by appointment and features a variety of special treatments, spa services, facials, exfoliation, and much more. We also offer products such as beauty and skin treatments, health drinks, herbal teas, and food supplements. World Spa also accommodates groups of five or more so you can make it a full and special day. Come enjoy the World Spa difference. Call us today at 619-624-0506 or visit us on the web at www.worldspas.org.
Hey, got a marketing department? Outsource it. Electronic Theater, a full-service multimedia ad agency, will animate your business. Still stuck with paper? Go digital. Engage your prospective clients with dynamic media, including voice, animation, video, music, and even virtual tours. Your interactive presentation illustrates who you are and what you do. Whether it's projected onto screens, handed out on CD with auto web link, or streaming from your website, multimedia will grab your client's attention and keep it there. Electronic Theater makes it simple. We are knowledgeable, experienced, friendly professionals, and surprisingly affordable. So get your message out to the world. Electronic Theater, spotlighting your business. Check out our services and low CD replication pricing at electronictheater.com or call us at 760-436-8449. Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a caller.
Wonderful.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi.
That was really amazing listening to that, that story.
That's something.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's just really wonderful.
The part that really kind of struck me was practicing with small weights so that when the big, like practicing with 3-pound weights, so when the 300-pound weights come along.
Yeah. And drop
you're,
on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of being ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about the hiding, like when you hide the emotions kind of stuff, then, you know, it just kind of goes sideways.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not like nobody notices. You know, we think such a great job of fooling people, and it's just written all over us. This stuff is going on, and I'm pretending like nothing is happening. You're fooled, aren't you?
You're fooled. Yeah,
nobody is.
That's kind of what I've been looking at. It had been pointed out to me the last time I was at the monastery that it would be useful if I would be willing to give up hiding.
Uh huh.
And so I've been practicing being willing for a long time.
There you go.
Not hiding, and that wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to clean up this mess?
Well, who's been cleaning it up all along?
Nobody.
I doubt that.
I've been hiding. You know?
Uh-huh.
And I can't hide anymore.
Yeah. Don't want to.
Well, I do.
Part of you does.
Yeah, because I don't know if I can handle this, you know?
Yeah. And the part of you who wonders that can't, but the part of you who is willing and doesn't want to hide can.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that really can.
That's right. And that's, of course, that's the heart of Zen awareness practice. You know, if we identify with all of these little personalities who are young and small and feel inadequate and are frightened, and then we're just going to be in a terrible state all the time. But if we come back to center and we access that wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature, then, hey, that can handle anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she has.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And easily.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like Michael was talking through, coming through the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what, you know, I stop. Like these intense emotions come up, and I have all these defenses to stop it.
Right.
And then they kind of go sideways and, you know, kind of
leak out like toxic waste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and stagnate and create all sorts of baobabs. Yeah.
And, of course, you know, there was Michael. He didn't have a lot of options. You know, he's in a room, and it's not like he can say, you know, I need to go out for a run, or I need to walk around the block about 100 times.
There's a magazine.
Right. So, but the rest of us, when we're practicing with our smaller weights, we can do that. So a lot of emotion comes up. And, you know, that emotion doesn't actually need to be to involve anybody else. It's fine if it does, you know, if the situation kind of calls for that. But It doesn't have to. So, you know, you can walk outside and let you know exactly how you feel at every moment of every day.
one of the things that I've been doing, I've got myself believing that I need to do this.
Do need to do which?
I need to stay in Pittsburgh.
Oh, uh-huh.
I need to do this. And I'm seeing how much I believe it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And how real it seems.
The part of you who believes it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the
yeah.
same thing as like the hiding thing.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what we're talking about, in case anybody missed it, is egocentric karmic conditioning. Right? Egocentric karmic conditioning wants to hide out, wants to stuff emotion, wants to stay where it can keep control and
Keep your head in the sand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Keep the head in the sand and keep perpetuating the same suffering over and over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. None of this is new.
Yeah, exactly.
None of this is
new. But again, when we come back to center, then from center, we don't need to do that. From center, being authentic is easy, and it doesn't involve, being dramatic and involving other people and blaming and fighting or arguing or any of those things. It's just
authentic. Those are like floats to keep you above the emotion.
Yeah.
They don't, and that just kind of keeps it all going.
Exactly.
Instead of sinking down into it to the underneath part,
below the story.
Below the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So once again, if we use Michael talking about him like he's not here, there's being there, and it's not one thing that arises. It's thing after thing after thing after
thing after thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then being willing to be with that as it comes up, to be in relationship with that, and authentically with everybody else who is in that sphere.
It's interesting because these storms have been kind of happening when I need to be working,
and so
the voice comes up. But I can't do this right now. I have to put it on hold until later.
Uh-huh.
And then later it's not there.
Well, and in the way that I was talking about it, the only one who actually needs to know what's going on is you.
Yes.
And so from center, you can let whatever arises be there, allow it to be there, allow it to pass through. There's no reason to postpone anything. You know, conditioning would have us believe, I can't get into this. If I start crying, I'm never going to stop. Or, I'll get so angry that I'll just dismantle this whole house. And, I'm out of control and all. That's not true. It's not true. It's when
it's
we're
true.
Identified with conditioning that we get into those states because we're in the story.
Yes, and the story just keeps the storm going.
Yes, but the storm itself really passes through very quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
there and again, I'm just very grateful for this practice because with the practice I have the opportunity to step out of the story and actually have choices.
Yeah, you can step out of the story and into your body.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And just be with the energy whatever is moving through your body. The energy moving through your body, of course, is what we call emotion. And so there it is, and it's moving through. And without a story, again, it passes pretty quickly. But
it's magical.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And usually leaves in its wake, actually, rather than destruction that is left when we're in the story about how awful this is and what it means. And, if we just stay with the emotion and allow it to pass through, it often brings insight and clarity and awareness with it.
And joy.
Yeah. And we wind up in that place of, wow, that was big. That was impressive.
Can we go and do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's just amazing, you know, just what's available when the story isn't taking everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And how small the story really is when you're not in it. So there again, gratitude. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sherry, are you there? Did we lose Sherry?
No, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Did I drop out?
Yeah, I didn't hear from you for a few seconds there.
Oh, my goodness. Beth left, but I didn't.
Oh, is Beth there?
No, she said goodnight.
Okay, great.
Yeah, oh, well, we were off in our own little world here, and now we're back with you.
Maybe I dropped out.
Right. Somebody dropped out.
Somebody dropped out. Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a couple more callers lined up here.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Jeffrey from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. Hello, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Good evening.
I am so grateful today for Michael's story. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. It brought to my attention that believing what the ego has to say can sometimes be such a waste of time.
Yes. Yeah. A waste of time, a waste of opportunity, a waste of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when those 300-pound weights happen, I would rather be ready for it.
Yes. Yeah, and we can't be ready when we're off in a story about how life is that has nothing to do with how life is.
Mm.
Yeah, we can only be ready if we're being ready.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of awareness practice. That's what it's doing constantly, is bringing us back here, teaching us to be here and breathe, be here and breathe.
Mm.
Yeah.
I had a question about some content I'm working through, and I was hoping to get some guidance.
Okay.
I was journaling about some specific piece of content, but I found a much bigger issue, or what I think ego wants me to think is a much bigger issue, and that's that almost every person that I encounter I think of as having some authority or having more or being more important than I am.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It seems to be across the board, whether it's somebody is like that I'm romantically interested or an acquaintance, someone I don't even know. And
there's
I'm not quite sure.
There's just an assumption or an orientation that they are more important or more valuable or have more authority than you do.
Yes, and that their opinion counts for more.
Their opinion counts for more. Uh-huh, and especially their opinion of you.
How did you know?
I get paid to be intuitive.
A lot of conditioning comes up around what I perceive to be, like, when I offend someone.
And do you get information that you offended someone from someone else or just internally?
Most of the time, it's only internally.
Yeah. So the real opinion giver, the real authority, the real one that wants you to believe it's more important than anybody else is that voice inside your head.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you really get that?
Yeah, I think I just did.
Yeah, yeah. That it's the one running the show. It's saying, this is how this is. This is what this person said. This is what they're thinking. This is what they think of you. This is who you are. This is what this means. And you know, when we step back from it a little bit, it's like there's nobody else there, right? You don't get to be a real player. And right. An external person doesn't get to be a real player. The only one who gets to be a real player is the one who's not even a person.
Yes.
Isn't that astounding?
It is. It is.
Yeah. So yeah, that voice is keeping you in this one down position. It's saying you're one down to everybody else, but really, you're just one down to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can see there's a part of me that wants to rebel against that voice as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part that really believes it, and there's a part that also wants to argue with it.
Yes. You know? Now, here's my encouragement. Don't go along with either one of those.
Right.
Okay? Just observe it. So you're a journaler, so you can just write down what it says. You don't believe it. You don't take it on. It's just exactly as if a next-door neighbor were saying it or somebody on the television is saying it. You know, you're just listening to it as, wow, that's astounding that's what that voice is saying.
Mm.
Has nothing. Here's the important part. Has nothing to do with you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It has no truth about you. It has no wisdom about you. It has no insights about you. It has no information that you need to have. It has nothing to do with you.
Hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just noticed there's another voice coming up that wants to know how to fix it. What to do after I've observed.
That's right. After you've observed, you call me.
Okay.
That's what you do after. Now, I will tell you that there is a retreat that we do at the monastery called There's Nothing Wrong With You.
I'm going to the one in Rehoboth.
Fabulous.
You're doing one on the East Coast.
That is correct. And you're in it.
I couldn't sign up fast enough.
That's excellent, because that whole retreat is designed to address this exact relationship. So you are doing the next thing to do, and then after that, you can check in with us and before that, because it's not going to happen until November. But you're on the right track.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Good.
Wonderful.
Good. Take very good care of you. And have as little relationship with that voice as you can. Notice what it says, hear what it says, but don't get involved.
Okay.
All right. Your assignment.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. We'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion awareness in our next segment of Open Air. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Hear that? You just gotta love that sound. Really, it's one of this country's great treasures. The unmistakable sound of a nice California Chardonnay. There's nothing like it. Well, except of course for the sound of nails pounding lumber, building new homes across America, or steaks sizzling on the grill. In fact, 40% of American products are shipped by freight railroads, from computers to produce. We even carry trucks. Really, chances are the things you'll use tomorrow are taking the train today. 70% of new American cars, 40% of the grain harvest. More Americans depend on us than ever. Freight railroads contribute more than $31 billion a year to the U.S. economy. And since one freight train carries a load of up to 500 trucks, that means less fuel, less traffic. A better environment, a better tomorrow. Tomorrow, arriving by train. Sponsored by North America's Freight Railroads.
Are you a health-conscious, motivated mom who wants to work part-time from home? Do you want to enhance your family's income, get out of debt, experience financial freedom, create a flexible schedule, set your own hours? These benefits are available to top performers of this 34-year-old, solid, stable company. www.lisastafford.com. Achieve personal wellness goals and make a difference in the lives of others. Receive coaching from the top achievers at this company. For more information, go online, lisastafford.com.
If you want to live a healthier lifestyle naturally, visit wellnow.ca, an all-Canadian quality resource. We provide the information and knowledge you need to make your best choices. Wellnow.ca gives you access to natural products and solutions, lifestyle services, and licensed health practitioners. Our free monthly newsletter delivers healthy living tips, articles, and expert opinions. Become empowered. Go to wellnow.ca today. Have a question or comment? To speak to our show hosts or guests during the live show, call in toll-free in North America, 877-514-7300.
And from elsewhere in the world, call 001-858-277-1444.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a couple more callers here lined up.
This is a good thing.
This is a good thing. I'd like to welcome Catherine from St. Louis. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Well, I feel like I'm cheating. I was just on this wonderful retreat with you, Sherry, and it was great, but I still have another question.
All right. We can't answer them all on one retreat.
That's right. That's right. I have had my job for 28 years.
Oh, my goodness.
The company is currently offering an early retirement incentive. And before the retreat, I had been considering this and pretty much decided I couldn't afford it. I would have to get another job, and I didn't really have in my mind any ideas about what to look for in another job. And after the retreat, during and after the retreat, I've had such energy, and today, returning to work, I had such energy to try that was starting to kind of be sucked away as I approached work, mm-hmm. and I just am wondering about possibly taking that offer, and then I would have to, of course, look for something else, and it would be kind of a leap of faith. I wouldn't even know actually where to start looking, and I'm kind of would be real interested in if you could give me some guidance on kind of how to approach this decision.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What's the time framework for this decision?
Well, I have to let the company know by in just a couple few weeks, October 6th. And so I don't have a lot of time to look for another job before.
Uh-huh.
Before I let them know. There's a deadline to sign up.
Uh-huh. And do you think enough people are going to do this, that this is the last time they'll offer this?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. It's hard to say.
And now, why are they doing this? Do you know?
They're wanting to, as I understand it, they're wanting to reduce the staff. They want to avoid layoffs. I don't know if there would be layoffs down the road or not. if enough people take this, it sounds as though there wouldn't have to be any layoffs in the company.
Yeah, although
you never know.
There's no guarantee, is there?
There's no guarantee.
So that could be a really terrible scenario, couldn't
mm-hmm.
it? That
yeah.
You miss this opportunity and then you get laid off.
That's true. And I do have, I'm in a union, we have a contract. There is a procedure for layoff, and I'm very high in seniority, so layoffs might not affect me at least the first round or so. Now, I'm not saying that I have job security. I know that that's not true, but 'cause no one knows that.
Right.
I've seen how today I was seeing how much energy I had for well, I'm going to go look at that area, and maybe I'll call those people and find out what they if they have any jobs. And I could look at different things, and I had a lot of energy for that. And after I got to work, of course, a lot of us who qualify for this are talking about it among ourselves. And as I was talking to people, I started worrying more about money. And I'm 58. Would anybody hire me? I have experience in basically just one field. So how could that translate into another field? And I started feeling myself getting kind of controlled by the anxiety.
Uh-huh, which is what's going around work.
Yeah.
People are anxious.
Right.
People are anxious and scared. Well,
right.
here's what occurs to me about it.
Okay.
Two things occur to me. One is you have until October 6th.
Uh-huh.
And that's just darn near 3 weeks.
Right.
So you actually do have some time to put out some feelers and see what's going on and that sort of thing.
Right, I do. That's
it's
true.
Not a lot of time, but you do have time.
Okay.
And so that would be my encouragement. Now, there's a little game that I like to play, and it's like this. So you decide, because you have plenty of time to do this. So say on Monday, starting Monday, for the next week, you are going to leave this job.
Okay.
Okay, that's how you're looking at life. Okay? I'm
mm-hmm.
going to leave. I'm going to do this, and this. This is what arises. This is what I think about it. This is, and it's not, you know, the voices trying to talk you into not going, because there's no room for that, because you're leaving. You're leaving the job. You're quitting.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And you do that for a week.
Okay.
Then the next week, you're staying.
Okay.
So no room for voices that say, well, but you could do this. And it doesn't matter. I'm staying. I'm staying in the job.
Okay.
Now, all the time that you're playing this game, of course, you have feelers out for what else might be possible.
Right.
But in your thinking, that's the game that you're playing. And then you will give us a jingle after that, and tell it, and I mean, you can call him before that, but especially after that, and tell us what you noticed during those 2 weeks, each
okay.
of those weeks.
Okay.
Because right. there's going to come a point at which you know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know. You're mm-hmm. staying or you're going. You will know. But this will give you some really good opportunities to see who all the players are on each side of the issue.
Okay, that's a great idea. I would like to not be controlled by fear.
Yes.
Either going or staying.
That's right.
I would like I'd like to follow my heart.
Yes.
On this, and there might be some. My heart might also say, well, I would like to pay the mortgage because I'm
that's right.
House.
That's
know?
Right.
So there could be a lot of factors. This sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, yes. Following, you know, sometimes we think following the heart means, oh, to heck with the job. I'm just going to go off into the sunset. It'll be fine.
Right.
It's not necessarily following your
yeah.
heart.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And as long as I have a job and have enough money to go on retreats, that's feeding my heart.
Not such a bad
that's very
thing.
That's very important to me.
Yeah.
So that's an. So these are very good ideas.
Good.
Now it looks like fun.
Now it looks like fun. Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take
good
care.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to welcome our last caller, Margaret from New York. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. I have a question, actually, about family. I'm at a loss to know how to deal with a family that I feel is progressively getting more and more abusive.
And who are these people specifically? Mother, father, sister?
Right, mother, father, siblings. I always knew that I came from a family where my mom was abusive. And my father, yes, my father also. But now I'm beginning to realize, because I'm willing to see it, I think I never wanted to see it before, that it is also my siblings. It's not just parents.
Uh-huh. Everybody's playing the game now.
Right, because my role has always been in the family to be sort of like the poor, pitiful Margaret, poor, pitiful Margaret. And I've worked really hard to change that.
Uh-huh.
And I think people are having a very difficult time with accepting me as a different person. And but it still hurts, you know.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's a good chance that they never will. They never will accept you as different, because if they do, that changes the whole family structure. Mm-hmm. And families get very invested in how it is with them staying how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not unusual for families not to want to let one another change. It takes a great deal of conscious awareness, actually, for families to let each other out of the roles that they've had traditionally in the family structure. Now, how close do you live to these people?
My sister lives in Florida. Brother who lives about an hour away. My parents live 2 hours away.
So how much time do you actually need to spend with these folks?
Well, you know, they were always wanting me to come visit, and like holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and it can start out very nice, and then it progresses where people just be mean. They can be very mean-spirited.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you have other alternatives for those holidays?
Not really, but I can. It doesn't bother me to spend them by myself, to be honest.
Uh-huh. And so what's the cutoff time for it getting going from nice to nasty?
It varies. Sometimes it could be a few days. Sometimes it can be it's gone from 2 days sometimes to about four, or sometimes it's immediate. I got on a plane to visit my sister to be a clown at her daughter's party, and she wouldn't even take a picture of me and the kids. You know, things like that. I know it sounds stupid, but...
Did she tell you why she wouldn't take a picture?
She said she forgot. But she took... I don't believe it, to be honest. And maybe that's ego telling me to think something differently, but I don't believe... She took a picture of everybody else but me.
So, yeah. It's hard not to feel singled out.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first thing about it is to own the projections.
Okay.
So if it feels like they're not letting you change, then there's an element also in that of you not letting them change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's very easy and tempting in families just in a very short period of time to fall back into comfortable old habits and patterns. That's why families like to be together, because it's comfortable.
Mm.
You know, it's familiar. It may not be totally pleasant, but it's known. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're the one who's going to have to start bringing conscious awareness to it, because you're the one who's being really troubled by it.
Mm.
And so just for you to consider, you don't have to go visit just because people want you to.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to visit on anybody else's terms. So it's perfectly possible for you to just go for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a couple of days like it's a workshop. Okay, be all prepared, and we can talk as you get closer to it about things that you can do, you know, ways to take care of yourself so that you don't just get automatically and immediately pulled into those old family patterns. Mm-hmm. And you go there like you're going on a workshop, and you pay really close attention, and you take notes, and you watch everything that happens to you, and then you get out of Dodge, and you see what you learned. You see what happened, okay? Then you make arrangements to go back again, and again, it's a workshop. You're not going there for a family visit. You're going there for a workshop, and you take what you learned from the last one, and you know what to watch for. You know what parts of you come up and get hooked. You know you have techniques for taking care of yourself, for sidestepping stuff. You go in for a couple of days. You do that. You come out. You see what you learned. And if you will continue to do that for a period of time, eventually you will find that you're freeing yourself from any impulse to get caught up in this.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Okay, so stay in touch, huh?
I will, Sherry. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Another great show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Let's do it again next week.
Let's do it again next week. Kiss the baby for me.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.